So, you've all had lunch, you've all relaxed, you're ready to go. It was actually the whole idea of giving you lunch first so you would get sleepy during my session. And you'd all fall asleep and it wouldn't matter what I said. I used to actually say that when I first started speaking in front of adults after having spent 20 years in front of school children, I realised I had to be careful what I said in front of adults because they actually listen. You know what I'm saying? So it was a whole different ball game. Alrighty, so you recognise that dude? That's me. So I'm really excited that you guys are here. And what I really love about the whole thing that's starting is the fact that it's people helping people. You guys get to fix and improve your finances by helping somebody else fix and improve theirs. Oh, sorry. And to me, that's just a beautiful thing. Okay? You know, you could go out and sell used cars and you could do all sorts of things to earn an income, but I can't think of much that really gets me excited more than the thought of being in business helping people fix their finances. And, you know, you look at all of the other people that work in the financial services industry. You've got your mortgage brokers. They put people in debt. Yep, they help people get stuff they want, but in fact, the reality of it is they put people in debt. You go and see a financial planner. You know, it's a big, long journey to get to that wealthy thing at the other end when you're 65 years old or whatever. You guys fix people's lives right here, right now, wherever it is that they're at. You meet them there and you help them fix their life. And we all know that the problems that people have in their life, when their money's bad, they seem heaps bigger, and when their money's good, yeah, it doesn't really matter, I can put up with it. Would that be the truth? So I love the fact that it's people helping people. So this weekend, our catchphrase is, get excited. Because if you don't get excited, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Not a lot. Not a lot. Because it's up to you guys to make it happen in your business, just like it was up to me to make it happen in mine and Jenny to make it happen in hers. Okay? So if you don't get excited and you kind of go, oh yeah, I'm doing this thing, but nothing's happening, go and stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself the hard question, am I excited? And if not, why not? What do I have to do to pump myself up and get excited? And I'm sure you've all heard that if you've got a bonfire going and you take one of the sticks out of the bonfire and put it over there on the cement on its own, what happens to it? It goes out, doesn't it? You put it back in the fire and it comes alight again. So if you're trying to be a lonely old petunia in the petunia, whatever it is, patch, pumpkin patch, get connected. One of the reasons why you've come here this weekend is to get connected and to liaise and to support each other. And connect with each other. So now that you've sort of intermingled and you sort of cross-pollinated some of the groups, that you know you've seen each other on Facebook and whatever, but now you've put a face to the name, and that can work a lot better as well. So get excited. If you see GE anywhere from now on, it's not General Electric. It's get excited. Okay. So let me just take you on a very tiny little memory lane trip, because excitement is what's managed to get me to where I'm at today. I can remember getting so excited when my money stress went away. That was just amazing, because the mortgage payment was just killing me with stress and the bills were piling up and I'm sitting there chewing my fingernails off. When that went away, I got excited. And I don't know if it's glasses or not, I can see up here. The fact that I realised that what I developed could help other people, I got excited. When I went and saw an accountant and said, hey, have a look at what I've done, and he said, that's really great, that's awesome, I got excited. I was dancing around the kitchen, my wife didn't know what was wrong with me when I got home. I was so excited because I'm yahoo around the kitchen because this guy said how good this thing was. And he should know because he's an accountant, but I didn't know any better at the time. So, and then he invited me to do a presentation to his staff. I was excited. And one of his staff members says, can you come and do this for me? I got excited. Excitement, enthusiasm and passion is what will drive your business, is what will make you be successful. I got my first referral. That was exciting. And then I got my first check. And I knew instinctively I needed to keep a copy of it, because I thought, this is something that I'm going to look back on and say, that was a moment that this we remembered. So $75 and lots of work, and I was excited. The next customer paid $100, that was the referral, and it went up from there. So I can understand when you guys get your, or got your first customer and your first referral and your first payment, how exciting that felt. Because it's like, hey, I got my own business. I'm actually making this work. So get excited. So that's my message. Okay, you're not going home then. Oh, maybe not. All right. The reason you get excited is because what we're doing is exciting, obviously. So, my button's playing up here. I believe that you guys, being here at this point in the history of the world, it's a really, really great opportunity. I mean, I started this over 20 years ago, and at the time I thought this is the perfect time. And here, 20, 21 years later, you can see the date on that check actually, it was 1996, just over 21 years ago, 20 years ago. I thought at the time, the world's in such a mess, people are in trouble with money, you know, interest rates are way up here, it's crazy. Perfect opportunity. 21, 20 years later, guess what? It's the perfect opportunity. And I don't think it's ever going to change, unless we get out there and change it. And I really believe that we're going to have an impact on the world. So look around, there's just a little bit less than half of the spending planners that we've trained are in this room. This time next year, we're going to knock that wall out, and we're going to pack them in here. You guys will be like, you'll be like coming and going, oh, it's this one. I'm famous. An amazing opportunity is history in the making. So, what I want to do, because you guys are going to be sitting across the table from, or talking down the Skype tube with people and saying to them, let me help you with your money, with your finances, with your money problems. So you guys need to be smarter than the average person, yeah? Because otherwise it's the blind leading the blind. So let's have a session where we sort of go through the basics of why people have money troubles and what you guys have got that they haven't got that you can share with them. Because when you have these conversations, every client is going to be different. They're going to have all sorts of issues that you may or may not have come across before. And the more ammunition that you've got, where you can say, oh yeah, such and such, such and such, and I go, wow, this person knows all about me. This person knows all about my problem. They've seen this before. I can trust this person, they know what to do. Now, do you think I had all those answers when I started 21 years ago? Absolutely not. But I was excited. And you know what? Excitement makes up for everything you don't have. Because you can always say, you know what, I don't know. But I'll go and find out. And I'll come back to you. And providing you come back, they're quite happy for you to say, I don't know, but I can find out. The last thing you want to do is pretend that you do know and make up some cock and bull story. Okay? So, and the answer to when is money more important than it really should be is when you don't have any. Isn't that the truth? I'm assuming you all read the question, so I figured it was time I answered. When is money more important than it should be? When we have none. If you've ever had a little windfall of some sort, whether it was an inheritance from your grandparents or your little lotto win, or you know the boss back paid you for 6 months because he forgot to give you a pay rise or something, and suddenly there's this big chunk of money, all your stress is gone, and you think, oh wow, this is great. It doesn't last long, but it feels good for a bit, doesn't it?
Well, it's when and you don't give it the value that it should have as well, when you've got too much. Not too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the point where you don't value it. And I'm sure you've all heard about the goose that lays the golden eggs. You know, when chunks of money come into your life, that should be used to actually grow the goose, not to go shopping. Does that make sense? Because if you eat the goose, it's not going to lay golden eggs. So, I guess you're aware of the money, no money cycle? Well, let's have a look at it. When you're in the doldrums financially, what do you do?
think about money.
You start to panic and you think, oh, Struth, I can't pay these bills. And you think about money and you go, I've got to do something about this. So you focus on money. What happens is your financial situation lags, but it starts to improve because you work the overtime, you get the second job, you do whatever you need to do to improve it. And then what happens?
You relax.
You relax. You start to feel good and the focus on money goes down. And then what happens? A little bit later, your financial situation. And then you go, oh my goodness me. And so you start to focus and then your money situation goes up and then you relax and it goes down. And anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm sure we all do. Oh, I forgot that one. So, as a spending planner, you basically help break that cycle. Because you help people focus on their finances constantly. Not like, oh, money, 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 money all the time, but you put a system in place for them to be accountable to you, to themselves, and to be focused on, hey, I've got a plan and I'm following the plan. And it breaks that cycle. Does that make sense? What did I just give you? A little golden nugget. How could you use what I just told you? You're talking with somebody. They're spilling their guts to you. They're saying, oh, woe is me, my life is terrible, my money's all up the spout, blah, blah, blah. You go, you know what, it's all okay. You probably might have noticed this is what's been happening. It comes good, it goes bad, it comes good, it goes bad. I can help, I can fix that for you. They go, oh my goodness, she knows all about it. He knows all about it. All you have to do is prove to someone that you understand their situation and you know what they're experiencing and you've been there yourself probably. In fact, I can fix that for you and they're kind of feeling better already. That makes sense.
Okay. So, how are you going to do that? How are you going to break the cycle? Haven't I given you all the steps? Surely I have. So let's look at why people have money, have trouble with money, and see if we can get some common understanding that we can use as general learnings that when someone says, oh, I'm struggling with money, you can go, well, you know what? That's what this session's all about.
Because I don't have a spending plan.
I don't have a spending plan, but I don't even know what one of them is yet, so we're going to have to break it to them gently. So, generally, if you ask people why they have trouble with money, they, you know, get all of these things come up. Self-discipline always comes up. If it doesn't, I bring it up because I'm going to talk about it anyway. And then they go, oh, no information, no time, I'm too busy, no system, no motivation, no belief that I could ever get out of this rut that I'm in. Like I'm so deep, I'll never get out of this rut, so I might as well just blow it and make the most of it. Any others? It must be others.
Too much. Are you saying what people say, or what people...
I'm open to either side of that.
So the question again was...
Why do people have trouble with money?
Well, the first thing they say is, I don't have enough income.
Yep, which is my next point. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So their reasons are, I don't earn enough. My wife spends too much. My wife's got too many credit cards. I can't be bothered.
Yep. No belief, no motivation.
No system.
No system. I'm too busy. Because let's face it, if you had the option to go and sit down and reconcile your bank statement, or go to the footy with your mates, or whatever it is the girls do, which one would you pick?
Footy.
I'd go and reconcile the bank statement. Maybe not. So, it's not, you know, well, we all want money to be good in our life, we don't want to have to really focus on it. We know we should, but we kind of, there's other things we'd rather do.
Very small percentage of people would go, oh, I'll go and reconcile the bank statement. Oh, that's really important, but footy's more important, the cricket is better. So, any other reasons why people have trouble with money? Because you guys need to know. Why do people have trouble with money? Because you've got to be able to say, I know why you're having trouble with money. Lizzie mentioned the wife, the other half. That's always a good one to blame the other half. In fact, when I think back to all of the people whose houses I went into in the early days, I never once got invited into a house where both of them were good with their money, I never once got asked to go into a house where they were both bad with their money. It was always one was in pain because the other wasn't in control. Whether it was he or she or he, it didn't matter. One was and one wasn't. That was the scenario I walked into every time. You may find that yourself, I would expect that's probably the truth. So that's important to understand that, hey, you know, this is common. You're not Robinson Crusoe. I see this all the time. You know, and even if this is your first customer, it's the truth. You maybe then can say, I see this all the time, but I know this goes on all the time, sort of covers the truth, doesn't it? Just choose your words carefully if you're worried about staying in your eyes. So everything that comes out here, you can sort of go, okay, what's the truth in that I can use to show, hey, you know what? Here's a solution, here's the reason, here's the solution, here's what we can do. So, Lisa, you already said, most people would go, oh, it's because I don't have enough income. And we all have this thing that if we had more income, it would all get better instantly. Who doesn't think that? I reckon it would help. You're allowed to put your hand up, by the way, so like, oh, I've got you now. You're not going to go to make the room and wear the dunce cap or anything like that. I reckon it's really important that you earn as much income as you can. Because the more income you earn, the more good you can do in the world. The more good you can do in your own life and in the people around you. You can't give if you don't first receive. Although you have to receive to give and give to receive. So no income means trouble. Earn as much as you can. But you know what? I'm sure we all know that no number of pay rises is ever going to satisfy our need for more money. We already talked about that, didn't we? Because when the money comes in, our focus on money goes down, then we hit the pits and we go, oh, I need to focus again, and we do that. Okay. I think you've all seen my magic wand pen, haven't you? Have you all seen this one? It's a magic wand pen. I just doubled your income. How good does it feel? Good. Who was on zero? Sorry, double zero is still zero. Bad luck. And when you get to work on Monday, the boss is going to say, I'm going to back pay you to the start of the year. Oh no, that sucks. The start of the year. But I've doubled your pay.
You must financial
year. That'd be okay, yeah. So how do you feel now your income's doubled? Pretty good. You all know that? How long is it going to last, that feeling of euphoria? I have been asking this question in front of audiences basically all around the world, but certainly all around Australia. And when I first started asking the question, I honestly expected people would tell me, oh, about a year. Do you know what the most common response I've had is? 3 months. And that shocks me. But it also it verifies, and you guys need to think about this, hey, everybody knows that getting your income doubled isn't going to make you feel great financially. You know, 3 months, the commonest response, if that's the most correct grammar, the most common response is, about 3 months from now, I'll kind of feel like ho-hum, it's normal and I'd like to get more. That's the truth. So when someone says to you, I earn really good money, but it doesn't seem to be any left over for me, You know what? That's absolutely normal. Every time you tell them that's absolutely normal, they kind of feel better. And then when you say to them, it actually hasn't been your fault that you're struggling with money, they're going to feel even better still, and they're going to be thinking, so it's not my fault. Whose fault is it, and what's the problem? And the more you can be like, you know, I know this stuff inside out like the back of my hand, the more they're going to trust you, the more they're going to go, wow, I want you on board in my life. So we all know that more pay rises won't solve our problem. It might be great for a bit, but it's not going to solve the problem. Because it's not about income. Is that the truth? Our cost of living is determined by our income. When you have no income, you learn to live on the smell of an oily rag. When you've got lots of income, oh, you know what? I paid for a night at the Novotel, but actually I want to go to the Gold Coast, so what does it matter? I'll just go down to the Gold Coast. That happens all the time with wealthy people. That kind of stuff. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Self-discipline, let's look at that one. Hands up, all those people that haven't heard me talk this talk and say,
Yeah, I think self-discipline's a big part of it. Who thinks their customers are going to think that? Now you can all put your hand on it. Most people would say, yeah, I think self-discipline's a big part of the problem. And you can go, you know what? It might be, but it probably isn't the way that you think. Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that it's all or nothing. So either have to be really good and I just have to pay my bills and not do anything fun.
Right.
Or if I have fun, then that means I'm missing everything else up.
Yep.
And that there's nothing in the
world. I can't have it all. Yep.
Yeah, you can't have both.
Yep. That probably is a perception, absolutely. So I want to talk about self-discipline because I've got a few things that I think will help you to get an understanding that you can share with the people that you talk with, okay? So you've all seen my glass here and you will think that it's full of water, don't you? Because let's face it, the presenter needs to have a drink of water now. But what you don't know about what's in this glass, I actually have a drinking problem. I know I shouldn't drink methe, but I'm an alcoholic. I can't give it up, and if I start to get the jitters and things if I don't. I know I shouldn't do it, but I just can't stop myself. I'm an alcoholic. Believe me.
No.
I drink enough that I can hide it. Okay. So I've tried really hard to give it up. You know, every morning I promise myself I'm going to stop, but I just don't have enough self-discipline. I know I shouldn't do it, but I just keep doing it. You get the picture? Okay. And I'm a chain smoker. And I know I shouldn't do it. I know it's bad for my health, and I keep saying I'm going to stop doing it, but I don't have enough self-discipline. I just can't stop myself from doing it. And every morning I go, I'm going to give up the smoking, just don't have enough self-discipline. You believe me? I use a really strong deodorant. And on top of that, well, I have to admit, I have a shopping addiction. And I know I shouldn't do it, but I just go shopping all the time, and I keep promising myself I'll stop, but I just don't have enough self-discipline, and I just can't give it up. You believe me? So something isn't right here. I have lied. But to get across a point. Of the three examples I've just given, one is cannot be correct. So the first one, I'm an alcoholic. I drink methe all the time. I know I shouldn't do it. I'm trying to stop and I just can't because I haven't got enough self-discipline. I'm a smoker. I know I shouldn't do it. It's bad for my health. I want to give it up. I do it all the time. But I just keep doing it and I want to stop. I've got a shopping addiction. I go out and spend money all the time. I know I shouldn't spend money, but I just keep doing it. And I haven't got enough self-discipline to stop. Does anybody pick up on the point that I'm trying to make? Do I have to drink alcohol? Now, if I'm an alcoholic, I probably feel like if I don't, I'm going to die. But the fact is, I won't. Agreed? If I'm a smoker, I kind of feel like, you know what? I can't stop smoking, I'll probably die if I stop, but the fact is I won't. And it is possible to give up smoking, I just don't have the self-discipline for the drinking or the smoking. Spending money. Do I have to spend money? Will I die if I don't spend any money? Yeah, probably not, but if I never bought food, it could get pretty close to that. So can you see, I do need to spend money. I don't need to drink alcohol, and I don't need to smoke cigars, but I do need to spend money. So I cannot logically say that I haven't got enough self-discipline to stop myself from spending money. Because I have to spend money. I don't have to drink and I don't have to smoke, but I do have to spend money. So if you were thinking, yeah, self-discipline, that's a big part of it, the reason you're wrong is because it's not about stopping yourself from spending money. What is it? It's about planning how you spend it, and more the point, knowing when you should and when you shouldn't. Now, if you're an alcoholic, you should never pick up a beer or a glass of methe. If you're a tobacco-holic, whatever you call that, and you've got lung cancer and you're about to die, you shouldn't pick up a cigar. But if you're someone who spends money and you've got a shopping problem, it's not, I've got to stop spending money. It's,
I need to get a plan that allows me to spend money when I need to do it and allows me to have some for the hobbies, but I don't screw it up. Is that making sense? So no doubt when you talk to people and you're talking about, you know, you're going to listen to their life story and their sob story and they're going to tell you about their pain. But you know, like in the whole process that we went through with the making the sale, we talked about the idle chit chat and then getting them to tell their life story and then asking for permission to poke them in the eyes and say, well, hang on, here's some truth, buddy boy. Along there, there's going to be opportunities for you to pop your $2 worth in. And if you don't sort of throw in little words of wisdom and show to them that, you know what, I understand where you're at, I've been there too, or I've helped lots of people who've been there too, and have you ever thought of it like this? Or have you ever thought of that? If you can't throw in those little pearls of wisdom, you're not going to be anywhere near as convincing as if you can. See, look, I come across this all the time. It's really not your fault. This happens to most people. This is how we deal with it. This is what we do. We put you on a plan so that you actually have some spending money and you get your bills paid. So you don't have to make a decision, can I spend money today or not? You know. Oh, that sounds good. You understand what I'm trying to say? So when it comes to managing your money, if you think lack of self-discipline is a problem, what you were saying is, I spend money when I know I should be doing it. That's the crux of the matter. And that leads to the question, how do you know when it's okay and it's not okay? How can you get it right if you don't know what right looks like? You've probably heard me say that before. How can you get it right when you don't know what right looks like? That's when you can say, it hasn't been your fault. All of the problems you've been having with money, yep, there's all of, yeah, maybe your wife is a spendaholic. Maybe you haven't earned enough money in the last 12 months. Maybe. But the fact is, you're fighting against the odds that you cannot win. You're fighting a fight that you cannot win because you don't know when you're in the right place and when you're in the wrong place. How can you win that battle? So, do you guess? Do you just, I feel like I shouldn't go home now? Do you stop spending when you run out of money on the savings account, or do you try the credit card button and see if that one works? And like, how do you make those decisions? Or do you have accidents with money? Is it kind of like, oh, whoops, I can't pay my bills? So, can you see the logic? Our logic doesn't sell. But you need to be able to present logic in the selling process so that you can make them feel comfortable that the emotions that you're bringing out, because people buy an emotion. If you can get them feeling uncomfortable about where they're at and make them feel like you've got the answers to get them feeling comfortable again, you're in the box seat. So the question is, how do you know when to stay and pay? How do you know when to walk away? So you can say to someone, You can't win this battle because it hasn't been your fault, because there are things that you were not taught at school, your parents didn't know them, they didn't pass them on to you, society says, there you go, you finished education, have a great life. And nothing was taught to you about how to actually get your money right. Well, what hope have you got? So to finish off my little talk on self-discipline, imagine this. It's a Cessna, and all you aviators can probably tell me what model it is, but it's a Cessna. So you go for a joy flight with a pilot one Saturday morning, and you know, whether you decided to pay for it, whether someone gives it to you, whatever, friends of an aeroplane, you go for a joy flight. And you've just taken off, you're up at about 1,000 feet, and you turn to the pilot to say, hey, can we go over my place? And you notice that the pilot's just had a massive heart attack, slumped over the joystick, gone. Lights are out, dead. How are you feeling? Put yourself in that situation. How are you feeling?
Terrified.
Okay. Hang on a second. Do you think to yourself, can I use some self-discipline? Okay. Let's have another situation. You've just got home from work, Friday afternoon, it's payday. You come out, letterbox full. There's all of these letters in the mail. And you open them up and they're all bills, and it's a couple of $1,000 worth of bills because you've got the rates and the car rego and the insurance and the telephone. All fall due this week. And you go and check your bank balance and you find that you've got $20 and there's bills for $2,000. And you kind of go, I'm screwed. How do you feel? Pretty bad? How do you feel over here? The plane's crashing?
Better than being in the plane.
Okay, so that's bad, but it's not as bad as this one. You get the feeling, okay. So, here you are, no money, but it's better than not than being there. Okay. So, can you possibly solve either of those problems using self-discipline? Here I am in this plane, the pilot's dead, and I'm going, stay calm. I'm going to get this plane back on the ground if I just stay calm. Any sense in that? Over here I'm going, that's it, I'm never going to spend money again. I'm going to discipline myself to death. I'm never going shopping again. Is that going to work?
No.
Can't do that? Can't do this one either. It just doesn't make sense. Self-discipline is not what's going to solve the problem for you, because you need coaching. You need to get on that radio thing and get someone to coach you through what to do, because you need information and someone to tell you how to apply it. Is that the truth? You can use that scenario or modifications of it when you're talking to people, if it comes up. So people will say things like, I want to quit smoking, I want to lose weight, I want less money stress, and guess what the solution is? What was the solution back then? But in coaching and information, what do you guys provide them with? Coaching and information and a system to make it all come together. Isn't that the truth? There are a lot of changes. So I just had a go at school just before I'll continue on with that. How much did you learn about money at school? Everybody do this. Zero. Knowledge gives power. If you don't know the rules, you can't play the game. Put a whole bunch of kids on a patch of grass, put a ball in the middle, blow the whistle and say, go. They're going to look at you like, what do we have to do? What are the rules? You can't play the game if you don't know the rules. If it's the same in sport, it's the same with money. You can't play the game if you don't know the rules. When you left school, what rules did you know? You go to work, you earn money, you go to the shop to spend money. You go to work, you earn money, you go to the shop to spend money. Is this making sense? You imagine saying that to somebody that you're meeting with, and you go, you know what, this is what you were taught at school, you weren't taught anything, this is the habit, that, because that's what we all thought. How could you get it right? They're kind of going, yeah, you know what you're talking about. How can we change it? So everybody knows the secret to getting on top of their finances and becoming wealthy. Spend less than you earn. We all know that, don't we? That's another way of saying save. Spend less than you earn. The real problem is, how do you do that? And that's where you guys come in. So, see here, I've done lots of workshops all around the world, most of them in Australia, but I've done them in the UK, the USA, and New Zealand as well. And I've done this in most of my workshops where I've given people either a piece of paper or a spreadsheet on the computer and said, fill in, here's 20 expenses that an average household would have. How much per year do you think an average family would spend on those items? And I can tell you this. Every time, without fail, there is around about $100,000 difference between the person who gets the cheapest and the person who gets the dearest. 20 items. Fill it in, add them up, swap them over so no one has to be embarrassed, okay. But usually come in at about 40 grand at the bottom and 140 at the top. Give or take a few. Does that shock you? It shocked me, but it's a fact. People have this thing that their experience with money is just normal and that's how it is. The truth is, what they see as normal is just their normal. And everybody else is having a different experience. If their income's high, they'll spend more. If their income's low, they'll spend less. And you're going to teach people how to have a higher income and be happy spending on as if they were on the lower income and not feel the need to go shopping on the weekend to make themselves feel good, ready to embrace Monday again. Because that's what it comes down to. When people are stressed financially, they actually want to go and have more coffees and more movies and more things on the weekend to try and relax, spending truckloads of money to try and make themselves feel good, and all that's doing is throwing petrol on the fire. And when you guys come in and go, you know what, it doesn't need to be that way, let me show you the light at the end of the tunnel, and they feel good, they can actually feel like, you know what, I don't need to go to the movies every Friday night, and I don't need to have 10 coffees on a Sunday morning. Because actually my life's okay. I feel good, because my money's in order. And it breaks that vicious cycle. So why is managing your expenditure so hard? We start work, we learn to live from pay to pay. How many of us did not spend our first pay packet that week? Anybody? No, there had to be one.
What was the question? Sorry? Who didn't spend?
Who did not spend their entire first pay packet in the first week? Two people, three people. Okay. Most people did. You know what, I don't have a problem with that. You waited 17, 18, 20, whatever years for it. Go shopping. You come into the world with nothing and lots of needs. You know, you leave home, you've got to buy stuff. So it's okay to spend all your money, but you get into the habit of spending it all, and what happens is you just keep spending it all. So when you finally get married or you realise that you're in trouble with money and you need to get responsible, you'll do something like that, which is a budget. We've all done one of them, I think. Most of us have. And we've all realised the first time we did it, we felt great. A few weeks later, we realised it was useless. And we tried again and again, and then we just went, I'm no good at budgeting. You know, because budgeting sucks. Budgeting doesn't work. Spending planning rocks. Okay? So, the reason is because a budget just proves, oh, you guys should be able to pay your bills. This is really important. This is something that if you can explain to your potential clients, they will get it. So you do a budget, you've already gone through, what's your income, where does it all go? Oh look, we've done the balancing act, our income and our expenses, yay, we should be able to do it. Okay, you should be able to do it. But has anybody ever shown you how to do it? You actually know how to do it. It's good to know that you can, but how? So, jumbo jet, the wing weighs 25 tonnes, the paint weighs 1 tonne, it's possible to fly a jumbo jet. The airport's just over here, let's go and hijack one. Does anybody want to come with me? I've never flown one before, but we know they fly, let's have a crack at it. Anybody coming? Maybe if Tanya comes. You see, knowing that one of those things will fly doesn't mean you can fly. That's the point I'm making. Knowing, oh actually I can go this way. There's mathematical proof that it will fly somewhere. I don't know where, something that's really not the mathematical proof, but I thought it looked good. And there's mathematical proof, guys, that you can pay your bills. But it does not tell you how to do it. And if you don't know how to do it, it's useless knowing it's possible. Is this making sense? Can you use this with your potential clients? Can you explain to them the reason you guys have been screwing up, or not, maybe that's not the right language, but having difficulty, is because no one showed you this, no one told you this. You can do your budget till the cows come home. I would have got a gold medal, you know, I did it every night. I might change this number, see if that worked. Oh, I might change the date. It didn't make any difference. It was only when I stopped looking backwards and being the record keeper that I was and started looking forwards, and I went, wow, there's a whole new crystal ball that tells me everything I need to know before I get there. What a difference. Okay. So, I'm going to finish up on this very shortly because we'll have a little break because it's hot and we're all standing and sweating and stuff. If you know what the problem is, it's a lot easier to find a solution. Scientists right now are trying to find the solution to lots of medical problems. One of them would be cancer, and there's lots of others. And there's two ways they can go about it.
Should that not say if you know what a cause of a problem is? Because everybody knows you've got a problem with money, but isn't it about... You can only find a solution if you know what the cause is.
I'll take that on board, thank you. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. So
yeah, I know,
You've got it on the map. Because what I was about to say is there's two ways to deal with, well, for example, cancer. They put poison on it and give you chemotherapy and try and kill it that way and cut it out and stuff, radiation and whatever. Or, that'd be one way to deal with it. Or the other would be to go, what makes it grow in the first place? Because if you could work that out, that would be the way to solve the problem, wouldn't it? So, it's much easier to find a solution if you actually know what the problem is caused by. Alright, so, when it comes to managing your day-to-day finances and spending money, what's the problem? You guys should be able to tell me. Not having a plan sounds good. Can we get more nitty-gritty than that?
Education.
Education.
Timing was certainly part of it. But let's just break it down to common garden variety language at the pub, pub language. You guys got all the technical stuff. I want to put it in layman's terms, because this is what you were going to say to people. This next line is basically, it's like the king hit.
Just not knowing how to do it in
the
first place,
I
can't make it
work. The mother of all money problems. You ready for it? You all know it. We get called upon to make financial decisions all the time. Maybe not every day, but you know, if you're a coffee drinker, probably every day. And because it's never been any different, we have blindly accepted that we will find out in the future whether the decisions we make today were the right ones or not, whether they're going to screw up our finances or not. And nobody deliberately has trouble with money, but most people do. We make decisions and we are trying really hard to get it right, but we know when we make the decision, we're going to find out next month, next quarter, next year, whether we mess up or not. So my question to you is, does that look like a problem? Because in reality, this is what we're all doing. Isn't that the truth? Do you think people would connect with that? You think that would make sense? And this is where I pull out my phone. You all know me with my phone, don't you? Some of you don't. I say, you know, in the old days we used to wait 30 days to get a bank statement. Nowadays, in 30 seconds, you can log on to your internet banking and find out how much money you've got and where it all went last month. But do you realise there is a number missing? Now that gets people going, huh? What's she talking about? What's he talking about? What number? The zero's up the end of the balance, of course. No, there's a number missing. And that's why you cannot win. You cannot win getting your day-to-day finances in order, because every time you log in or look at your bank statement, there's a number missing. It tells you where you are. What doesn't it tell you? Where you should be. You guys know this, don't you? There's a lot of power in that. And if you present it the right way, people are going to go, wow, I never thought of that. This is something I need, because suddenly this is a crystal ball that's going to make my future totally, totally different and better. So, your bank statements that contain everything that's happened, if you pull out all the fluffy stuff that's rubbery, I call it rubbery stuff, and put it somewhere else, you'll know the story right here, then suddenly you've got something that you can actually predict, because these are all the things that aren't fluffy and rubbery, and you can predict the balances into the future, and that's the job that you guys do. Bank accounts, you know, and stuff. All right, we're going to have a break. Before we do, very quickly, have a quick think. Look at your mates. Turn to the person beside you and tell them the number one thing that you got out of the session.